Opposition Leader Chris Sipkins is kindly with us today, an important period for a conversation. Thanks for joining us, Chris. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Great to talk to you, as always.
Kia ora. There's a whole lot going on at the moment. We'll talk the budget, as we must. But what's up with this situation about the document that seemingly was there, wasn't there, some guys left? I mean, I did watch the Prime Minister's reaction to the questions, and he seemed a bit flummoxed by it all. Couldn't recall, started stuttering, and I'm thinking to myself, is something going on here? Because trust is so important, and if we think that big business is lobbying for law changes and receiving them, that doesn't exactly enhance our trust of the governmental processes. Speak to that to start us off, please, Chris.
It just doesn't smell right, does it? The idea that big companies like Fonterra, like Z Energy, can go to the government, hand over a document and say, we think the law should be changed to protect us from action about climate change. And then the law miraculously gets changed to do exactly what they ask. And yet no one seems to have a record in government of them having ever asked in the first place. None of that smells right. It all smells like people were trying to do things in secret behind closed doors without the public finding out about it. That's not the way the law should be changed. New Zealanders should be forefront of any decisions, not big corporates. And yet this government clearly have been prioritising the corporate interests over the public interests.
What do you make of our political donation scene or regime here, where big business can whack in hundreds of thousands of dollars? Now, you don't do that just because you like a party. You do that in the hope that you will get some favouritism when decisions are made. Or that's what you'd expect. Do you think it might be time for us to consider? Well, no. You can put in support of a certain level individually, but not collectively, because you'd know better than anyone the imbalance when it comes to how much putia you've got to fight a campaign with, and big money goes to right-wing parties. Do you think it's time for us to reevaluate this whole system?
It is time to have a good close look at political donations. We've always fallen back on the defence that transparency is enough. The reality is transparency isn't enough anymore. People are making big donations to political parties. And then in some cases, you've got political donors to the parties that currently make up the government getting access to the fast track so that their projects get approved faster. And that just, again, doesn't smell right. I think there's got to be more than just transparency. You shouldn't be able to buy your way to favourable treatment. You know, that is something that democracy has to work really hard to safeguard against. And then there's bigger issues too, which we've got to look at, like should corporations be able to give such huge amounts of money, or is that something that should just be reserved for people? Should corporations be able to buy their way into the political process, or should it just be that only people can donate to political parties? If you look at what's happened with corporations in the United States, I don't think that's territory that we want to get into here in New Zealand.
Might be a bit left-wing, but I heard a report the other day that they want to digitise driver's licences. This has long been your form of ID, and it's sat in your wallet on pick, and you'll have yours right in your pocket as we speak today, Chris. So why I ask that is that there has also been a push for electronic voting, both in local and central government. If we're going to go down this digital path and the much-heralded AI path that Luxon and Willis are espousing, surely that could morph into reforms to our voting system and abilities. Everyone's got a Sally. I mean, wouldn't it make sense to use them if we can guarantee security? And if they can guarantee security with driver's licenses, surely they could do the same for electoral processes?
Voter identification in voting will disenfranchise people. And there's clear evidence of that from around the world. So I don't agree with that. I think that you shouldn't need to present a photo identification in order to be able to vote. You should be able to show up to the polling booth, say who you are, and then get your ballot paper and go and do your vote. In terms of driver's licences, I've got a bit more sympathy with giving people a digital option around that. I'll confess, I don't carry a wallet anymore because I use PayWave on my phone. And so I have a photograph of my driver's licence that I took, and it's on my phone. And I've only been pulled over once in the last 10 years or so. And I showed the police officer who pulled me over the photograph of my driver's license. Thankfully, he was happy with that. He still gave me a ticket, though, which was not great. I haven't carried a wallet around with me for a long time.
This bloke, Goldsmith, seems to be the hatchet man for right-wing political ideology, or that's the way I see him. You've announced the party, that is, that you're going to bring back treaty clauses into education with this demeaning of Māori issues, the arrogance and sort of intellectual superiority that they are throwing around at the moment regarding what the principles of the treaty mean, and therefore, changing them across 19 pieces of legislation. And your move to address it in the education space, that can we expect as well Labor to further treaty clauses across all of government?
We're still yet to see all of the detail of what the government are actually going to do. So we're scrutinising that closely. We are going to bring back the treaty clauses in education. I gave them the prominence in education that they had before this government started tinkering with them, because I believe in it. I believe that schools do have a responsibility to uphold the treaty. They've got a responsibility to make sure that what is being taught in our schools actually reflects our local communities and reflects our history as a country. And yes, schools do have a responsibility to make sure that Māori kids are getting the same opportunities in education, the same access to opportunity as other kids are getting. And there's a lot of evidence to suggest that Māori kids aren't doing as well at education. So schools have got a lot more work to do there. And the feedback that we've had from school boards is that they agree. So most of the school boards are saying, look, we're going to keep doing this anyway, regardless of what's in the law. And I really commend them for that.
Thank you. Chris Hipkins is our guest. Chris, 9,000 jobs almost flippantly dismissed. That's 9,000 pay packets and lots of kids and food on the table that have been affected by it. It's very easy to just throw numbers around like that. We'll probably see it tomorrow as well. What is the party that is supported across time, working class people, what would you say of the impending cuts to the PSA, and how annoyed are you by them?
It's really important to remember that these people are same as you and me. They've got jobs, they've got families, they've got homes, they've got bills to pay. They're real people who are going to lose their jobs because of decisions taken by this government. That's heartless and cruel. But more than that, there's no way the government can make these kind of cuts without affecting the frontline services that we rely on every day. We're talking about people who work at our border, who keep us safe by securing our border. We're talking about the people who support our most vulnerable families, the social workers, the people who provide specialist support to kids in schools with additional learning needs. These are the jobs that are now on the chopping block. They're frontline jobs serving the New Zealand public.
A lack of investment into rangatahi is going to have detrimental effects down the track. The Māori population is youthful, and so in theory will be the kai mahi, the workers, who will fuel the tax system for the superannuates, of which you and I are fast becoming. Chris, maybe you've got a way to go.
I was going to say, speak for yourself there, Dale.
I think you're the same age as my daughter, Chris. But what I'm getting at, mate, is that a lack of investment into the needs of our rangatahi will have a detrimental effect on our economy, undoubtedly, in the years ahead. And we know that youth unemployment is high. Māori youth unemployment is much, much higher. These are difficult times, but do you sense there'll be any relief tomorrow? Any investment of a real sort in the needs of our rangatahi in this country, do you think, tomorrow, Chris?
This budget is the government's last chance. It's their last chance to show New Zealanders that they understand that the cost of living is getting worse and worse for New Zealand families who are desperate to see the government do something to help them. It's their last chance to show that they've got a plan to actually create good, well-paid jobs so that our young New Zealanders will stay here in New Zealand and not continue to leave the country in record numbers. The government have talked a big game over the last 3 years and everything's gotten worse. So this is their last chance to really try and turn that around. I'm not going to be holding my breath for that, unfortunately, but they're really in the last chance saloon.
Yeah, and again, we come into this political philosophy or ideology about targeted or universal funding, where there is need, and I note there is great need in the Māori world, and the disparities and inequity are glaring. The universality approach is something that differs from what Labor has done in years past, because targeted funding was part of the platform, and some would say the success of previous Labor governments. Your thoughts here, please.
There's space for both. I believe in both universalism and in targeted support where it's appropriate. So things like superannuation, I believe in a universal superannuation scheme, because it means that nobody in New Zealand should be living in poverty when they reach their years of retirement. Everybody contributes through their taxes, everybody benefits. I think making it free for everybody to go and see the doctor, and we're proposing to make it free for everyone to see the doctor up to three times a year, that's going to benefit all of us, because it's going to mean that fewer people end up in hospital emergency departments with avoidable illnesses. So there's a case for universalism, but there's also a case for targeted support. We've got poorer health outcomes for Māori and Pacific people in particular. We've got poorer educational outcomes for Māori and Pacific people in particular. And so programs that target that to make sure that Māori and Pacific people are getting the same opportunities as everybody else currently enjoys, that's absolutely justified.
Tēnā koe. Some people are raising their eyebrows because Labor haven't come out in front-footed economic policy, preferring to wait until after Willis's budget tomorrow. A deliberate political strategy, or do you think that it's just because you don't know the state of the economy and we'll know that clearer after tomorrow? Why are you keeping your cards so close to your chest, Chris?
I have been absolutely determined that any promises we make are promises that we will be able to deliver on. National rushed out promises last election, and they haven't been able to deliver on them. Remember, they said they were going to fix the cost of living, they were going to get people back to work, they were going to grow the economy, they were going to make businesses thrive. Well, more businesses are being liquidated, more people are losing their jobs, the cost of living has gotten worse, and the economy's shrunk. I'm not going to fall into a trap of making promises that I can't deliver on. So we're going to see the government's budget on Thursday. We're going to carefully scrutinise the numbers. We're going to look carefully at what they've cut. We're going to look carefully at what we would do differently in terms of the choices that they've made this year. And then we're going to be clear to New Zealanders, this is how we will do things differently.
Tēnā koe. I noticed that you asked Barbara, or thought it was the right situation for her to apologise for a comment, something about a duck-faced horse. But don't you think you should be apologising to Labor Party supporters that quite obviously have got a mole in the caucus?
I think it's disappointing that someone made this public. It was supposed to be an internal party event. The reality, though, is when MPs are out and about, when candidates are out and about, regardless of whether it's a public event or a private event, they've got to assume that people are going to talk about what they say and share what they say, and so their public comments need to reflect that.
Tēnā koe. Anything else you'd like to add this to our predominantly, but certainly not exclusively, Māori audience today, Chris Hipkins?
No, it's always great to talk to you, Dale. And look, I do acknowledge it's blooming tough going out there for people at the moment. My message is keep going. Better days are ahead. We've got an opportunity on the 7th of November to all contribute to a better future for the country, and we can do that with our vote. So my number one message to everyone right now is make sure you're on the electoral roll so that you can vote. This government are making it harder for people to vote at this election, and the best way that you can ensure that your voice gets heard is to make sure you are on the roll as quickly as you can be. So do that now so that when the election rolls around, you're actually going to have an opportunity to have your vote heard.
Tēnā koe. Good talking with you, Chris. Thanks very much. Look forward to more kōrero as we roll towards the election. Ngā mihi nui kia koe, te rangatira. Thank you so much for sharing some thoughts with us on Wā Te.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. Chris Hipkins, experienced campaigner and across many different issues. I do